Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Red Box Media. All right, ladies and gentlemen, episode 137? 137, I think. We have yet another special treat. Twice in a week, we have a treat, a little guesty treat. And please welcome to The Counterposition, longtime listener, first time guest, Wesley Bancroft. What's up, Wes?
Hey there.
So, Wes, come on, give him a hearty hello here. I see.
Hearty hello.
All right, good. You gotta get on these levels here, man.
This guy's booming over me.
I'm a boomer.
I'm a meek and mild designer.
He's a mild designer. I am a big, fat, loud radio guy. So, Wes, how did we initially meet, I guess? Let me set the scene up here. We got to set the scene up first. So,
sure.
We are in Santa Paula, California.
Yes.
Which is very much a kind of a blue-collar kind of ag town, you know. Home of Thomas Aquinas College, where my alma mater, woo, shout out to TAC. And we are in a park on the side of the 150 that goes up to the school. So if you hear some cars or some wind, this is Radio Without a Nate, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing this. This is like guerrilla journalism.
That's right. This is Central Radio. You're getting the quintessential. We're transporting you to Santa Paula.
Right.
At this point.
It's sunny, but like a little cool for here. And we're in a park. We're in a park where a body was found, evidently.
That's right. Yeah.
So
a dead body, let's make that clear.
A dead body, right? Yeah, just somebody, just a dead but a dead body. So it's kind of got some drama. It's kind of sketchy. It's like, oh, are they going to be okay?
Right.
You don't know. I mean, what are you going to hear? You don't know, do you? See?
We might be dead by the end of this.
Right. I mean, because that's how we roll here on The Counterposition. It's like we're like basically like in a war zone. I'm basically Geraldo Rivera, just like dodging bullets.
That's right. You think that's the breeze, but that's actually just a rain of bullets flying
rain by. Rain of fire, right.
Yeah.
So I'm with Wes Bancroft. Wes and I met, five, 6 years ago?
Yeah, Fillmore.
Yeah, Fillmore. Yeah, Kirby Fike. Shout out to the Fikes. Kirby's probably somewhere wearing a blazer right now with his hair parted on the side, you know.
In his cube. His beige world.
His beige cube world. You know, I just feel like break it out into like a version of like on a boat.
So right.
We're on a park, Kirby. We're in a park, Kirby. Everybody take a look at me. You're in a cube in a beige box. You know? But not me and Wes. We're rolling in a park. That's how we do.
That's right.
You know. What do you do, Wes? You're like a graphic designer. You're a brander. You're a brand architect. You're what are you? You're a behind the brand strategist.
Over the brand position.
Yeah.
That's my podcast.
Over the brand position. There you go.
The combination of both. Over the brand position.
The combination of all three.
Right.
Both of my podcasts and yours. So.
Exactly. Those titles are a little lofty, I think. But I'm a meek and mild designer.
Okay, but being a designer makes it sound like you're like, hey, buddy, I need a logo. I'll give you $99 for a logo.
Right,
and you're like, hey, well, here, let me put a heart with some flames on it, and people will want to buy your stuff.
Right, right.
I mean, but that's not what you do, right?
There's a lot of definitions of what design is, right?
Right.
And
so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about design.
Sure.
I say this all the time, and I think this is true. That's why I say it.
Mm-hmm.
I say the design is to the moderns what rhetoric was to the ancients.
Ooh, dang. So I'm going to like be put in the city house. I'm going to be like the poet.
Right. You are the Cicero of our generation.
Right. Oh, wow. I don't know about that, but
you're the.
I'll take it.
Well, no, it's the pleasing form of speech and pleasing form of the communication that allows the communication to happen and stick and be understood, right?
I could see the parallel there. Yeah, I mean, it's visual language, right, essentially.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, there's like the, there's all sorts of definitions.
And when I think, now, when I think of you, maybe just in the past, I think this is what I think of. I think when I think of you and what you do in design, I think of like infographics. That was like your thing for a while,
that
wasn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, because you, and that's very much a visual language, because you're really,
for sure,
you're transcribing data into something visual that's compelling that can be seen.
Yeah.
And understood.
Yeah, a good infographic should be telling like a story, or it should take you on kind of this journey and make information interesting. It should extrapolate it into a visual language.
Just for the record, I showed him the Calyx pitch deck over coffee a while ago, and he said my infographic was good. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So shout out to Matt Kernan for help with my pitch deck. But I think I came up with that infographic on my own.
You know what? You are a designer, Wiley. You are.
I dabble in it.
No, you are. You have the designer's mind. You have a designer's mind. You can add that to your resume. You can add that you are you're a designer and you need a reminder. That's what you need. Poet, you don't even know it. You're a designer and you need a big reminder.
Well, no,
it doesn't quite work.
No, I am a designer. I design coffee houses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I design sometimes. I mean, I definitely design. You know, the shape of the brand and stuff. I help come up with like the name and and I definitely am at the table for like the logoing and all that, and the typeface and all that. Sure. I mean, I'm there. That's one of the. I mean, my dad used to say I was a jack of all trades and a master of none. Mm. I like to go with Renaissance man. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
It's sexier.
Yeah,
Renaissance man. You know, just that's somebody you want to know. Jack of all trades and master of none is like the guy you don't invite to the cocktail party, right?
Right, right, yeah. Jack of all trades, master of all. That's what I'm shooting for.
Well, that's what I would try to go for too. But yeah, no, I design and I think that way. I think it's funny. What's that guy's name? Stemke, one of the guys.
Scott.
Shout out to Scott.
Can I do a shout out on your podcast?
Totally, dude.
Okay. So shout out to Scott Stemke.
Yeah. So Scott and I remember we were sitting on Kirby Fike's front porch one time. I think they had just gotten like the LA Gear account.
That's right. Yeah.
Or something.
When he was at his old firm.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, here's what you need to do. And I remember LA Gear back in the, and that was that real soft, real thin leather.
Yeah.
And it had that basket weave on the front. You need to brand that basket weave, and you need to do this and this and this, and here's how you do it. Yeah. And I just started just like pitching all this stuff to this like bona fide real, and he goes, dude, you should be a brand architect.
Yeah.
He's like, you understand this stuff really well.
Right. Yeah.
That's what
architect is, right? Yeah, they're like they see the everything from the city to a spoon,
right?
And you're a city to the spoon kind of thinker.
Yeah, what I think of is I think where my strength is in this world, and where I at least if I can kind of measure it by my bliss, so to speak, is when I can use the design process before the brand kind of process to work out the business model and back and forth, where we're kind of figuring out and how I'm communicating it is affecting what we're doing and back and forth.
Yeah.
And I can kind of come up with it in a kind of this back and forth kind of like dialogue between how we're communicating it and what we're doing and let it kind of, because we're not real set. Mm-hmm. That's when I look up and it's 8 hours later and I've got 15 versions of it and 3 manifestos and 16 logos. And I'm like, what happened? Why am I not doing this for a living? So I love that. I love that. Like the conversation you and I were having this morning about, you know, the core beliefs, the core vision of reality that we're trying to get to before the brand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what informs. You know, a friend of mine, his name's Eric Corbett, amazing designer. He does a lot of environmental stuff and crazy brand stuff, and he's insane. He is like the full package. Shout out to Eric Corbett. And just drop those subtly.
Hey. That's two shout outs on my podcast.
All right. Hey, okay, I'll pull back.
No, I'm just saying, you don't want to use them all up.
That's true.
I'm not telling you how many you have, but I'm saying you just don't want to use them all up. I'm kidding.
It's like the spirit of the law kind of thing.
You know? Right.
Like there's no set number.
Right.
But I don't want to just abuse it.
Well, it's like flair in office.
Sizzle points.
Like an office space. Where it's like, you're required to wear 17 pieces of flair.
Right.
But some people choose to wear more.
For sure.
Right.
Right, right.
So you want me to wear more than 17. I'm just saying that some people choose to wear more flair. Right.
Quote unquote, some people.
Right. Like, there's that guy over there going, hey, what's up? Can we get you some pizza shooters, some nacho poppers? He's like that. He's got like, he's flair from head to toe, right, that dude, you right, know?
Exactly.
Anyway, so the guy that does environmental design.
Yeah. He had this great analogy, and I kind of modified it using, you know, Ed Fazer, right? You know, Edward Fazer.
I don't.
You don't? Ed Fazer, the Thomist.
I don't.
You don't know? Okay. Teaches at PCC. One of the, you know, he's like a popularist. He's kind of like,
I kind of had my fill of Thomism.
Oh, you're done with that.
I kind of had my fill of Thomism right. at Thomas Aquinas College. I have PTACSD. It's like where if I hear the phrase "the thing received is received in the mode of the receiver," I start twitching.
You have a tick.
I get a tick. Yeah. It's like actually, I just heard Suzanne Bars, Conrad Bars' daughter, the Thomas therapist.
Yeah,
and she said the gift is received in the mode of the receiver, and I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense than the thing received.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's talking about the gift.
It makes it like a user story.
Yeah, the gift received is received in the most. So you kind of, you know, it's like you have to think about who's taking this and, you know, what and how that's
designed.
It is designed. That's why I chose that.
Dude. Yeah. So Ed Fazer has this great quote.
Okay, hold on. All right, we're going to go to the break.
We have to go to the break.
Yeah, okay. Go to the break, and then when we get back from the break, we're going to find out what Ed Fazer, Thomas Extraordinaire, has to say via Wesley Bancroft, our guest today. So see you on the other side, kids.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, and we are here once again with Wesley Bancroft, and we are talking about design, we are talking about branding, and we're going to talk about maybe we might, because Wes is quite a theologically educated and inclined individual too, so we might get into like what some of this has to do with trying to understand the faith or trying to live that out in some way. And I have a funny feeling that we're going to end up talking about Kanye West at some point. So there's a teaser, Kanye. All right, so you were telling us why Ed Fazer, the Thomist, that I've never heard of, unfortunately.
Right, right. So Ed, I call him Ed, like I know him.
Ed.
So Edward, Dr. Edward Fazer, he has this great quote about teleology, right? And he says, you know, if an aircraft carrier is off, if their measurements are off by just a couple, like 1 degree, within about 10 minutes, they're about like 10 miles off their course.
Right.
So taking that example, like the idea of moving an aircraft carrier as an analogy is like you have all these people on the aircraft carrier, right? And it's kind of analogous to like a business and their mission statement and their values and ethics and how they're kind of distilling down how they're going to accomplish what they're going to accomplish, right? And you know, they're shifting, they're pointing their ship to where they want to go, to the port where they want to get. And at some point, someone's going to ask the question, well, why are we going there? And everyone's going to go, oh, no, it's about the plan. It's about the mission. It's about our marketing strategy. It's about these things. And eventually, that product, that plan is either going to shift or it's going to, like, run thin. Or it's a very thin concept, right? People don't buy into, people don't invest their identity into mission statements. Like, a mission statement is kind of informed by, you know, like your beliefs, but really what gets people going, really what gets people invested and gets their identity lined up with you is beliefs. And so that's kind of the thing that Eric
Eric Corbett and some other, I mean, obviously amazing designers and minds. I've just been reading about a lot of that lately.
So it's interesting. It's like, it seems like there's not only is there a lot that the religious world could kind of learn from design, it seems like that design has figured out how to realize what it has in common with the world of religion, in the sense that, I mean, and that makes sense. Look at the best brands. People tattoo Apple's logo on them.
For sure. Yeah.
People, like, I mean, there are people who, the best brands become something that there's something about that and the vision that they have set out there about what reality looks like and what we want it to look like that people can identify with and make a part of their life in some way.
For sure.
And
those are the most powerful brands.
I mean, for sure, right? Yeah.
Like there's a great quote. I don't remember who it's from, but this brand that guy, I think maybe it was Saul Bass, he said there's three types of brands. There's an I want, I need, and an I am brand. And
that's good.
Those are the brands that like transcend, because it's like becomes a lifestyle, you know. And but what's interesting is you guys, you and Chris Stefanik, talked about the Catholic Church needing a rebrand.
Oh, it totally does.
And that's the most interesting thing, right? Like, what are the two strongest brands in the world? People name, like, Coke. Every time I ask someone this, they say Coke, Google, Apple. The two strongest brands in the world are the Catholic Church and the United States of America.
Yeah?
Those are the two biggest, strongest, maybe not the... They don't have a tarnished reputation.
The problem is that, yeah, because, yeah, we're, if we're the Chipotle and if we're the Chipotle brand, a bunch of people just got sick.
Right.
And I'm not trying to rip. I love Chipotle. I go all the time.
For sure.
I'm a fan of Chipotle. So I never stopped going. And like VW. We're the VW. We violated everyone's trust.
Right.
And so we kind of have to find a way to go, and I think if I were rebranding the Roman Catholic Church in light of the sex abuse scandal and all I would do exactly what Pope Francis is doing, where you would brand mercy at the core of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then say that you are as deeply or more in need of it as anyone else. Mm-hmm. And it says we're all in this together, but this is what we're still in together. Mm-hmm. Right, you have to somehow remind, or ultimately, what you want to do. I mean, here's what we kind of tried to do. We tried to go, look, that was an aberration from who we are. Remember who we are. But what we tried to do with the reminding them who we are was, remember, we're your moral conscience. We're the source of your guilt.
Right.
We're the source of all the repression. And remember back whenever you used to be really guilty and repressed and you were scared of us?
Right.
And then after about like 20 years of that, like, that doesn't seem to be working. Maybe we should rethink this. Mercy, you know?
Right, yeah.
Now, that's a real overplay. I mean, from the top down, a lot of mercy has been kind of, ever since John Paul II and Dives in Misericordia and all that, you know? Mm-hmm. But... I mean, mercy has been at the center of it. But I think we're just kind of getting it back to the center of our brand, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I think you've like that interview that you had with him, I think you touched on this idea of guilt. And, you know, if you don't want to feel guilty anymore, then just leave.
Right.
And so, yeah, a lot of people just left and they're like, you know, Epicureans.
In a sense.
Just kind of do whatever you want. And because that was the misbrand.
Well, and so it's funny. It's like, so the people that are doing the branding in the Roman Catholic Church are one of two people. They're either the cradle Catholics that are true believers, and they were maybe kind of fell away a little bit, but they never left, and now they found all this meaning, and so they see themselves as the embodiment of the new evangelization. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of me, because I'm a revert, though.
Okay.
But I fell away by falling in love with Christ. I left and became a Protestant. Now, a lot of the people that are doing the rebrand on the Catholic Church and branding the Catholic Church are people like you, who are converts. Mm. Where you're like, I knew that there was a mess, and I knew there was all kinds of problems, but I was on this objective quest for the real Christianity. And I could suspend judgment on all this other stuff and just look at the history and the core issues of the theology. But in reality, 96% of people are not like either of us.
Right. Yeah.
So we have to start, you know, we have to think about how, what is the mode of the receiver.
Yeah.
And then you have to scope the thing received.
Right.
So that it will be received in the mode of the receiver. I'm twitching.
There's again. That tick.
There's a tick. It's a my PTACSD is kicking in. Yeah, so I think that there's something to that, you know, because you want to communicate the reality. Mm. Now, the question is that we have to understand, well, what is that reality? Mm. And I think that reality, we finally figured out, is a little messier than just, look, we're right and you're wrong and you should feel bad that you disagree with us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We figured out that, and so mercy has been kind of like the core of the brand now. And I think that that is, well, I mean, the Francis effect, and I mean, look at Pope Francis. I mean, it is working. People are like intrigued and open again in a way that they haven't been. Now, maybe it's because of a misunderstanding, but you know what? I'm okay with that. If it gets me a conversation with them.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay with that.
In a Calyx coffee house.
In a Calyx coffee house. Calyx.org, available coming soon to a town near you. You know, and that's what I'm trying to do with Calyx. I'm trying to create a lifestyle brand. I'm trying to embody the, like, hanging out, spending time, leisure, and craft, and beauty, and justice, and wonder, and you know, the religious life, religious community lived out spontaneously by dwelling in third places with people, even strangers, and all that, you know?
Sure.
I'm kind of trying to embody that, and so that's why. So Wes is going to be helping me with my my relaunch of Calyx and the branding on that, and that's what we did this morning, having that conversation. So going back to what Ed said.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Ed.
Dr.
Dredd.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre. Dr. Ed said. I think that's just, this is kind of Aristotle 101 in the sense that you begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
Something is for the sake of something else if it's not for the sake of itself. And it's like you have to, so you go, well, what is this for the sake of? Mm-hmm. What are we trying to get to?
Right.
Where are we going?
Yeah.
You don't get in your car. I mean, occasionally I get in my car and my end is, well, pretty frequently, I'm kind of a driver. So I'll get in my car and be like, I want to go for a drive.
Yeah.
My goal is to be in the car driving around.
To drive, yes.
But most of the time, I'm trying to get to work by a certain time.
Right.
With least amount of wrecks along the way, and, you know, and sometimes with the most pleasant drive along the way. And, you know, and so that's why, but you have to understand where we're going. It's like what you and I were talking about, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Earlier, saying he didn't say, I have a plan.
Right. Right.
He said, I have a dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And he showed you a reality.
For sure.
He tells you about a reality where little black boys and little white girls can be in the sandbox together and people will only be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin.
Right.
He paints a picture of this reality to where we're like, I want to go there. And then you're like, okay, well, here's what we're going to do.
Right.
But until you make people want to go there, it's stupid to give them the directions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, and then the thing that happens with brands or with those plans, like those missions, right, is then it evolves, or there's some sort of shift, or there's some sort of obstacle,
right,
and then you hit that obstacle and your mission is not implied by a movement,
right,
and then the mission dies because missions are about objectives.
Right. Okay, so we're not going to let this show die, but we're just going to go to the break. So when we get back, we're going to dive in deeper and see what's going on with branding and what we can learn from it. So you're listening to The Counter Position. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley. We are back with Wesley Bancroft. And Starting with the second segment, we rearranged. So if there was a little wind on that front segment, I apologize. The wind picked up after we sat down, and we thought it'd be kind of fun to do this outside and away from screaming kids and whatnot.
Yes.
And,
kids.
I'm on the road here, so we could have sat in the car, but it's like, it's so much nicer out here. So if you get a little wind, I apologize. I haven't listened to it, but if you got some, I didn't have my headset with me. So if you got some wind on the front end, I apologize for that. Okay, so Wes proposed a question to me during the break. Just go to Wes and we'll propose a question.
Yes. All right. So we'll get back to what we were talking about.
Let's talk about that. Sure. Let's talk about that and then we'll go to the question.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So while you pick up your the brand dies, the mission drift happens, and then we forget where we're going.
Right. Right.
And so we're driving aimlessly, or we just pull over the side of the road and sit there and wonder why we're not getting anywhere.
Right. Exactly. And the thing is that you can, at least, I mean, from what I've seen, is like that companies can still persist doing that, but it's certainly not like a healthy or like happy way of doing it, you know?
Right.
Like companies can survive totally without beliefs, mm-hmm. without like a core vision and identity.
Well, using our example of Apple, I mean, they went through that phase.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, when Steve left, and then they went through, they cycled through all those CEOs,
right.
and they just were trying to do everything.
That's the thing.
And they were trying to become Microsoft or something, because Microsoft was in every office, and it was the beige box that everybody wanted.
Right. Totally.
And then, but it wasn't until Steve came back and they brought out the iMac, those old bulbous ones with all the different colors and all that.
See-through. Yeah.
And people were like, holy crap, daddy's back at the table, something cool's happening. Think different. And that whole campaign, that was insane. That was one of the best campaigns ever made.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, and so like the example that I think a lot of brand architects give is exactly that. Like, these companies that are just like hemorrhaging CEOs,
mm-hmm.
there's probably a reason why,
Yeah.
And it's because they don't have a core identity that people are then aligning. They're not saying, I am this, No one's saying, I am like a Yahoo user.
Right.
Right? And that's a serious brand problem.
Right. It's like when I see someone who has an email address at yahoo.com, mm-hmm. I'm like, they're still Yahoo?
Yeah. Let me show you something.
Someone gave me their email address the other day, and it was Hotmail.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, dude, you might as well be like Mindspring or something. There's a band I'm into.
Called Hotmail?
No, there's a band I'm into, Over the Rhine. I love that band, right?
Yeah.
And they still have an AOL.
Dude, that's a brand thing. They must have like been like, we're hanging on to this. We're old school.
Right, yeah.
Like 90s.
Yeah, they're like AOL, dude. I remember used to get those free trial CDs.
Oh, 25 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, and you like you put them in. You'd be like, wait, you get some free internet for a while. Yeah, you get the dial up. That boom, ding, ding, bang, 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 bang. That whole thing.
What a crazy concept that you had to pay for. You had to have points to get internet, and now you can like live in the middle of Africa and just tap into some, and it's totally
right. Well,
it's crazy.
We were just talking about this with about terrorism and stuff. It's like how we're fighting this ideology in 136, and it's like some guy can be on the African Sahara, African savannah,
uh-huh.
out there herding his goats or something. And pull out his flip phone that he charges with a little solar device that he bought at the market or something.
Yeah.
And he can read a jihadist forum and get radicalized off his flip phone while he's herding his goats 15 miles from anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got this global information network. We built it and we just didn't really plan on what that would mean. And we kind of got our first, when we started kind of hearing about what was going on the dark web and all this stuff, like sketchy porn
scary
and stuff. But then,
scary.
But then it's like, now it's like there's stuff scarier than porn happening. They're like teaching each other how to build suicide vests over flip phones.
Now,
from rural area to rural area.
Think about this. That's never occurred to me. ISIS. is one of the strongest brands in the world.
It is.
Right? Like, if you can radicalize someone, they're, and it's all built on beliefs.
That's true.
It's built on a super core set, strong set of beliefs. And, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, that is a brand, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, we're churning through battery here. It's like, I'm a little worried. But I've noticed that if you replace one of the batteries, that it helps out. So we ended up coming to this park and there's no place to plug in. So we had to send out for batteries.
We got wind.
We got wind. This is frontier radio, man. This is like guerrilla journalism right here. I mean, how can they not have... I mean, I guess this is a lot of power coming through this old professional recorder, but if they're going to make it like that, I know there is some kind of function where you can like have it spares the battery, but I don't know how to do that. So note to self, learn how to do the battery sparing setting on your recorder so you don't miss out on a good interview with a guy like Wes here. So yeah, ISIS has like this crazy brand where it's like, oh, yeah, they're bringing it back like to the way it used to be, and we're going to take over, and we're going to, it's basically the way that like, the, it's kind of like a violent version of like the hyper-traditionalist Catholics that want to like build Christendom again.
Right, right.
And like they want a bunch of castles and a king, yeah, and the whole thing. It's like, except that's like the Catholic version of like Sharia law. We could burn some heretics again, you know? It's like, yes, we want to get back to burning heretics.
I am except, a burning heretic person.
But they actually just do, but ISIS actually does that. They do burn heretics.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're wondering who that's a heretic a is, if you're listening to this, it's you and me and probably everyone we know are infidels. So in case you're wondering, and am I an infidel? Yes. Yes, you are.
If you ask yourself that when you wake up in the morning, the answer is yes.
Right. So I mean, and then it's also like, if you could almost look at the reverse side of this branding process and kind of use it to judge the progress in your spiritual life. Mm. In a sense, like, how much do I look at this stuff that I say I believe and say I am this?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
How much do I identify with this? What defines me? What gives me my identity? Is it this? Mm. And you kind of take a responsibility for being a better customer, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I haven't bought an Apple product in a while. I should, you know, I do an examination of conscience, and I go,
right,
you know, I did buy that Android, and you know, maybe that's one way to do an examination of conscience is like, how good of a customer am I, you know?
I mean, that's like one of the strongest parts of a brand. Like, yeah, I've kind of touched on it, I guess, is, yeah, aligning your identity. And, yeah, how do I align my identity with the Catholic Church? Like, I can give a lot of lip service to it, mm-hmm, and I can buy the products, which would be like going to Mass, I assume, or like taking the sacraments. Those are the products,
right,
that, yeah, I partake in. But yeah, how does it then play into my life?
Yeah, how much am I letting that become me, so to speak?
Right, we designers always talk about, oh, create advocates for your brand.
Right.
Create brand evangelists.
Right.
And then you have this little tribe.
Right.
This whole idea of tribe. And
you're just getting all Seth Godin on me now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I just described ISIS as an idea virus in the last episode. You mean unleashing the idea virus, yeah, at Seth Godin Mecca.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is an idea virus.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's a meme that kind of goes about, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're seeing, it's amazing how powerful something like, how you can take that entire brand and that entire brand story and break it down almost into a statement that causes people to do this visualization themselves, right? So like, if you're like some idiot like Trump and you go, you know, we're gonna make America great again, then everyone fills in the blank about what they think that would look like.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that's like, oh, well, I mean, let's flash back to the Obama campaign, the first one.
Right.
Right? I believe, I have hope in a future of change.
Hope and change.
Hope for a future of change. And I'm like, oh, he has hope for a future of change. I have hope for a future of change. But I'm like, do you not realize that everyone from Mother Teresa to Adolf Hitler could say that exact same phrase and mean it?
Right.
They're just not telling you what change they're hoping for in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's a future where everybody that isn't just like me is dead. It's like, that's ISIS, right? It's like, you know, so... You haven't told me what a great America looks like, Mr. Trump.
Yeah, for sure.
What is your vision of a great America? I don't know what that looks like, right?
Right.
But so in some ways, a brand instead of rhetoric can be sophistry.
Yeah, for sure.
Rhetoric for the sake of...
It's empty.
Yeah, rhetoric, the real idea on rhetoric is communication, hopefully, of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's maybe something we should hit when we get back from the break. It's about our vision of business that we're talking about with all this branding and all this is not just, I mean, not just the idea that like, oh, we want to just make a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very social entrepreneurship kind of vision of entrepreneurship that I kind of presuppose, and I forget that other people don't think that way.
Mm. Yeah,
I'm thinking about using the process of business to make change in a way that creates value that makes people's lives better, in a way that that value can be worth something, and then I can exchange that value for some kind of a token, like a dollar or something.
Right, right? You know? The exchange of energy. Right, yeah,
right. So, totally. All right, so when we get back, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to let him ask me his question, and we're going to talk about Kanye West.
Oh, no.
You're listening to The Counter Position. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, and we are in the final stretch. The fat kid is in the open mile coming around the last lap. I'm so bitter about being forced to run that open mile when I was a fat kid in high school. Every time I think about the final stretch, I always think about just like huffing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hate that. All right, so we're talking about, so I was saying that, look, we're talking about, there might be some people listening. I wrote my thesis on this stuff, and one professor at the table just kept going, come on, business is about just making money.
Mm, mm.
He couldn't see that it was anything more than that.
Well, what's interesting about that is that is his beliefs.
Right.
Those are his beliefs.
Right.
Right.
That's a brand.
They're very thin.
He has bought into a brand
that's about
making money.
Yeah. Right? It's like, oh, it's like the guy that says, oh, I don't need philosophy. It's like, that is your philosophy, man.
Right. There's a great meme going around the internet. It's like, I don't need philosophy. I have science. Well, why is science so important? Well, because, and you're doing philosophy and now you're doing philosophy. It's
great.
Like, the minute you start telling me why science tells you about reality, you're now doing natural philosophy.
Yeah, exactly.
So take that, put that in your cosmos and smoke it, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Your cosmos. Put that in your abstract concept of a show and smoke it.
Exactly. All right, so or which one do you, what do you want to do first? You want me to ask me my question, or do you want to talk about Kanye West?
No, I want to ask this question because I think it's good for the listeners to understand.
So West is like a daily listener to The Counter Position.
For sure.
I'm blown away that someone of West's caliber wants to take time. And Allie Cavanaugh and Michael Miley and so many of you out there. Adam Mehring was just like hitting me with like all of them he listens to. I'm like, I'm amazed by these people who I admire so much.
It's a great show.
Want to listen to a hack like me do what I do, you know?
You got to own it, man. It's a great show. Well, I am kind of forced to listen to it because I have to drive 2 hours per day.
So that's my demographic. the long commuters.
Yeah, the unwilling listener. Here we go again.
Okay, so as a listener, you have a question for the host of The Counter Position.
Yeah.
Which is kind of along these lines, yeah.
Sure. I want to know why you chose the Killer song for your opening intro, and then why you chose the Dinosaur Jr. song for your outro.
No one has ever noticed that or asked me that. Okay, so...
Well, leave it up to a designer to
ask. Okay, so the Killer song, All These Things I Have Done, is one of my favorite. It's maybe my favorite song. Like, I remember someone asking me, what's your favorite song? I'm like, well, that's a loaded question. What do you mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, if I could only listen to one song for the rest of my life, what is the song that has the most meaning to me? Mm. Okay, the one that has the most meaning to me would probably be, like, Latter Days by Over the Rhine.
Okay.
If you ask me, you know, what is, if I could only have one song for the rest of my life, I don't know, but it's like, I said, look, here's how I'm going to answer the question. Is there a song that I find meaning in almost every lyric in it, and like when I hear, no matter what, if I hear it on the radio, I turn it up.
Yeah, crank it.
And anytime it comes on, I'm at a wedding, I am on the floor, and yeah. And if it like, if I play it and I accidentally have my iPod on repeat,
right,
I'll just let it go for a while. Right. It's all these things that I've done by the Killers.
You'd listen to it if Nickelback did a remix. That's how much you love
Well, I mean, let's not go too far.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of blasphemy right there to even say those two names in the same Nickelback. Nickelback's like the Candyman. You don't say his name out loud. They might show up.
They might.
I remember my friend Josh had a Facebook post a few years ago, and it said, everyone, please be careful. There's a link going around the internet that says that it's a link to a free download of the new Nickelback record. Do not click on it. It's a link to the free download of the new Nickelback record. It's like,
that's amazing.
That was awesome. I don't know. It seems to me that throughout the Killer stuff and throughout all of Brandon Flowers' stuff that I've, his solo stuff, there seems to be a real spiritual struggle.
Yeah, for sure.
And a spiritual element to his writing. And that song is all about sonship.
He starts off,
you know,
right,
when there's nowhere else to go,
right,
is there room for one more son?
Right.
One more son. You know, so it's kind of that John Eldridge thing, the son of the beloved son, the heavenly father. Kind of, it's got a very prodigal kind of son kind of feel.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I need direction to perfection.
Right.
You know, you gotta help me out.
Right.
Yeah. And I want to redo the shows segments breaks so that we get more of that song in. I want to get to like the, can you imagine if we came back from this last break and it was like, I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Yeah.
So I'm about to have Ethan work on that.
Nice.
I want to do that. So that song, just the lyrics all have a lot of meaning to me.
All right.
And I just, it's got so many different parts to the song. There's like four different songs in one song. Kenny's stuff is like that, like the head and the heart. Mm. They have all these changes,
right,
where it's like different. It's like four different songs in one song.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you never get bored. Just when you start to get bored with one line, it changes up, you know? So I like the song, and it's got good high energy. You know, it's good for like...
Oh, that's a great intro.
Yeah, I think it's a good intro. Yeah. Now, the Dinosaur Jr. song is I grew up skateboarding and watching skateboard videos with Dinosaur Jr. soundtracks on them. And I, that opening lyric of Feel the Pain is, kind of describes me. I go back and forth between being hypersensitive and just like feeling way too much and being numb.
Mm.
So I feel the pain of everyone, and then I feel nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't feel nothing.
Right.
That's kind of the pattern of my life.
Okay, yeah.
And I just like the song. Plus,
I love both
of those. I love the idea of sticking the Killers and Dinosaur Jr. on Catholic media. I'm like, ha ha, Catholic bubble guy.
Right, yeah.
You now have listened to Dinosaur Jr. Here's a little secret, I'll tell you. Occasionally, like when the show's a little short and you get a whole bunch of Jay Mascis at the end, I purposely cut it a little short so you'll have to hear that guitar solo. I just love that guitar solo is going out on Catholic media. All right, so there you go. All right, now we're at 7 minutes into the segment, so we're going to wrap this up. And Wes,
you want
Bancroft
to know,
is personal, close personal friends with Kanye West.
No, I wouldn't.
Like Kanye West and Kim and you hang out. Like, are you going to their house for dinner tonight?
We chill hard. No, not tonight, but tomorrow night.
It's going to be swish, dude.
It's going to be swish.
It's going to be so swish.
Yeah, that was a onomatopoeia. Is that an onomatopoeia? Swish.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah,
that was an onomatopoeia utilized by Kanye in one of our dialogues, one of our...
So you've actually done work for Kanye West. That's what I'm teasing you about.
But I
have. You actually have done design work for Kanye West.
Yes, yes.
So you've been at the house hanging with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian.
I have. Yeah, unfortunately, fortunately. No, it was a really interesting experience.
Okay, so yeah. If you haven't, I need to put a picture up of Wes. Wes is the whitest human being. Like, if there was, like, a social studies teacher from the 1980s, you know, like, this is Wes Bancroft. He's got, like, the most non-offensive glasses and a perfectly unoffensive kind of cropped beard. I mean, he is the whitest dude you will ever see.
I own that.
I mean, you kind of have taken, I'll say this. When everyone was still like hardcore hipster, you started rocking the normcore thing.
Oh, for sure.
Like way.
You know that I wear the same thing every single day?
Do you really?
Yeah. I have 7 of these shirts, 3 of these pants, and I buy the same shoes every time.
Are you serious?
For sure. No joke. Everyone at my office is like, one day I showed up with the black Heather shirt I used to wear under this.
Yeah.
I have 10 of those. And they were like, what happened? And I was like, one of them, that my clothes were just dirty. And they were like, this is weird. This is so weird.
So you and Zuckerberg.
Yeah, exactly.
You, Zuckerberg, and the late Steve Jobs. No, there's an article. I just read an article about this, about how many people that are high productive people.
I wouldn't categorize myself.
They wear the same thing every day, so they don't have to think about
it.
It's
just easy.
You know, I, for a long time, when I was a kid, I had like a little bit of a uniform, and for the longest time, it was jeans, gray Heather t-shirt, and Birkenstock Chef clogs. I still say like 2-3 days a week, I'm like gray Heather, dark charcoal gray t-shirt, these jeans I'm wearing right now, black Birkenstock Chef clogs.
Yeah,
that's kind of like my look. That's just kind of like, I don't have to think about it.
That's your brand.
That's my brand. I need to start thinking about my brand.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So you went to Kanye's house.
Yeah.
And you're like there, and there's like all these people like lounging around on Italian furniture, and there's a giant fresco.
So yeah, in one of his homes, I hope this somehow doesn't like trickle back to me. finds
it. I thought it was in a video.
In the video?
I thought the one of his videos has that fresco in it.
Oh, does it? I don't know.
Someone said that last night, I thought.
Well, it's in his home in Sunset Hills. Or no, above Sunset Boulevard. In like Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's basically this fresco painted by some famous painter. And it's of him.
Yeah, you know, see, and I made a defense of this last night because you're going, no, you can't have frescoes.
Everyone's going crazy.
I'm like, dude. People used to have frescoes painted of themselves, like in scenes with Christ. They have the donor's face on, you know, St. Paul standing there with Christ appearing to him,
right,
or something. And you're like, well, yeah, but they were born by someone powerful. They were their dad was someone powerful. They just had a bunch of money.
Right.
At least Kanye earned his, you know.
That's true. There is something to say about
that's
that.
That's literally the best. For sure. The only nice thing I've ever said about Kanye West, I think.
He's an interesting
kid. No, wait. I'm going to let you finish. But I'm going to let you finish that comment. But I just want to say, go ahead.
He's an interesting guy. We'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Interesting experience. One of the most surreal things I've ever done.
All right. So there you go. Kanye West hangs out with my friend Wes. That's who. He hangs out with
it's
you.
It's reversed. Yeah.
Yeah. He hangs out with you. All right. Okay. We're to the end of it, kids. Thanks for coming out. Thanks, Wes, for being on the show.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's pull the plug. Pop the cork on another episode. Play it, Jay Maskus.